Near FM.
I have Marion Byrne here. She's a public speaker, mentor, self-employed, I believe, entrepreneur, and your own business, I do believe, and also you're a writer.
Yes.
Now, she was invited because there was a time I attended a meeting and she gave such a wonderful speech about overcoming all forms of adversity. And we know, coming through Christmas, COVID, lost ones, and many, many issues in our lives, mental health, depression, all of them just hanging on in January. So she's come at the last Friday of this month to give us her ways of understanding adversity and how to handle it. So I want to welcome her and ask you to open your heart as she talks to us. And I mean, I gained so much from that conversation you had with us in that auditorium.
Thanks.
And so I'm deeply grateful for you coming in, because it hasn't been easy, but somehow you've been able to raise your family, you've been able to stand above it, and we want to know why. So tell us the story, Marion.
Oh, thanks, Mary. That's very kind of you, the words that you've spoken there. You know, first of all, for anyone out there who is struggling at the moment with family issues or with grief and loss, I just want to say that there is a God who cares, and there are people who do care and that you can reach out to and talk to. So don't think that you're on your own when you're going through difficult times in your life, which we all do, unfortunately. And try and keep the people around you that love you and understand you and know you. And you will get strength. You will get an inner strength. For me personally, I did try to do things my own way and lean on my own understanding and, you know, try to put this image of being this strong person that could cope with everything. But you can only do that for a certain amount of time, and you realize that, you know, you do need people around you to help you and support you. And if you have faith, which my faith has grown stronger over the years, because I realize what a good God we have, even in difficult situations. If we can reach out to him and read about him in the book that he gave us, you will find a lot of answers to questions you have and situations that you're in. And that's been my road almost, well, over 30 years ago. I was very happily married to my gorgeous husband, and we had two beautiful daughters, and life was really good. You know, I remember when he asked me to marry him, his name is Richard, he said, "Look, I'm going places. Would you like to come with me?" And I was like, "Yeah, I'd love that." And I was quite happy to get married and be the wife and be the supportive one, which, you know, I was. But equally, he was a great provider. He was a fantastic husband and father. Unfortunately, he was killed tragically in a car accident, which was pretty horrific. I don't really need to go into it, do I? But it was pretty awful at the time. And because the car that he was driving went on fire, I never got really to say goodbye to him, to see him again. But so I have all the beautiful memories. And the last time I saw him, he was happy and heading off to work. And in the crash, there were two other cars involved that had been speeding. So it wasn't my Richard's fault. But the other two other men lost their lives as well. So during all of that and the aftermath, forgiveness came in, because a lot of people and, you know, my family that were angry at the other men that had actually caused the accident. And I remember feeling, so sad for them and for their families as well at the time, because they had also lost a son and a brother and a friend. So forgiveness was huge at the time, and that actually helped me to cope with my own grief, because I chose not to hang on to any anger or blame. And I really feel that the Lord helped me to do that, to show compassion. And it's amazing, because at that time, you know, everyone wasn't always really encouraging of that. I had, you know, one or two said to me, how can you be so forgiving? Like, I hope you're so forgiving at 3 o'clock in the morning when your babies are crying.
Oh, gosh.
So what can you say to that, except it's difficult to understand if you haven't experienced a real encounter with God's love, which I did at that time, because it's very difficult to explain unless you haven't experienced it. But you feel his love, and it actually, it's in the Bible also. And I remember a friend of mine at the time, Hilly, she was a Christian, very strong Christian woman, and often when I was going through difficult days or whatever, she would ring me randomly and say, hey, Marion, I was reading this today, this scripture today, and I wanted to share it with you. And it was always right on the money, exactly what I was going through. And, you know, the answer was there. So he did speak to me through her. And thankfully, I listened, you know, I did listen to her. But I still dipped in and out to, you know, my faith and belief over the years, because I had to face realities too. I had to provide for my family. And I started up a business. It went very well. I was trying to raise my children, and any single parents out there will know how difficult that is when you don't have someone else to lean on. You know, it can come down to basic things like homework when you're tired and you come in from work and then you're trying to do homework and cope with everything. It's a difficult one. But, you know, if you choose to lean on someone and to trust someone, why not trust the Lord? I mean, I'll take that anytime, because he's always there for me. Yeah, so that was that part of my life.
Now, do you know what? I think everybody's going to say, how can she forgive? They're the one that caused the accident. Mm. I think that would be what's even on my own mind. It's it was their fault. Mm. So how did you let that go? There are many different things that people can't let go, because forgiveness is so huge.
Yeah.
And we know it affects us, because we can't sleep and we're thinking about them, want to beat them up, want to do something to them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But here you are, losing, saying goodbye, waving goodbye to your husband, who was such a provider. He was he was someone that you were going to do things for, and all of a sudden he's taken from you. Mm. Not by his own fault, but by something else. And then you're telling the audience listening to today, but it was, I needed to forgive. How did you get to that heavy burden, that knot in your stomach and that hardness in your heart saying, I would never do it, I never, how did you get through that?
I think I was very fortunate in that I have great family and I had a lot of support, and there are all the different stages that you go through with grief. You know, there's shock and denial, there's the pain and guilt, there's anger and bargaining, there's depression and loneliness and acceptance towards the end. And everyone goes through the different stages of grief differently. If a death of someone is caused by someone else's actions, that adds to everything, you know, and multiplies your emotions and whatever. I suppose even at that stage, because I was grieving and so sad, and the grieving is an actual physical pain, I just couldn't put that onto anyone else, because who was I going to blame? You know, getting angry and not forgiving, it wasn't going to accomplish anything. And there were other people suffering as well. And then I read somewhere that unforgiveness is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. So there's no point in holding on to it. It just makes you bitter and angry all the time. And when you have two small children, you can't really afford to feed into that, because they're watching you and they're picking up on your moods and, you know, how you're coping. And, you know yourself, children are like sponges. And I wanted to create a happy, loving environment for them. And believe me, there were days when I wanted to tear my hair out and scream and shout, and often did. But I'd go into the bathroom to do that. But I just found it more easier, actually, to just say, look, Lord, you know, I just pray for them, because they made a huge mistake, and right. two of them lost their own lives because of it. And my husband was taken out in that. So I looking back, it's like when you're older, like I'm in my 60s now, I look back at me then over 30 years ago, and it's like looking at a younger sister, and you go, you just love her because she was so brave and she did, you know, pick up the pieces, and, you know, she did have resilience and courage. And at the time, I didn't think it. I thought, you know, oh gosh, what have I done now? Or, you know, you make silly mistakes and all that life brings. But now at this stage, I just feel, you know, the Lord has put me into so many situations where I can actually do something to help others going through that. Mm. So in that, those years are not wasted, right. you know. And I look at, you know, it was nearly like a training ground, because, you know, when I go to talk to people who are grieving and suffering, I'm credible because I've experienced it, you know, and, you know, God has blessed me with compassion and, you know, being able to encourage others. And that way it's not a waste. Right. And, you know, I know the connection for me and Richard is that I know he's with the Lord, and I know I love the Lord. So, you know, if somebody is out there grieving, where are they? Where are they gone? If you have faith and you believe, that's your connection to them. God is the connection. He's in the center of everything.
That is so comforting. Thank you for saying that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, so all those stages you go through and somehow you come out the other side, but it's part of you. You know, grief and loss is part of you. It's not that you forget the person that's, you know, passed. You don't. You carry them in your heart forever. That's life, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah. And I was reading a book at one stage years ago, and it was about how bad things happen to good people all the time. And it's not always, well, it is about what happened, but it's about how you react to what happens. And can I read you just this little
piece? Yes, please.
Yeah. So it just says, we must respond wisely to circumstances. So in addition to choosing our thoughts and choosing to depend on God's Spirit, we can also choose how we respond to the circumstances of our lives. So this particular man, Viktor Frankl, was one of the Jews sentenced to the Nazi concentration camp in Dachau. He says that while he was in the camp, the guards stripped him of everything. They took his identity, they took his wife, they took his family, they took his clothes, they even took his wedding ring. But there was one thing that no one could take from him. The last of the human freedoms is the ability to choose one's attitude in a given set of circumstances. The guards could not take from Frankl his freedom to choose his attitude. We cannot control all the circumstances in our lives. We do not know what is going to happen tomorrow or even today. We cannot control our circumstances, but we can control how we respond to them. We can control whether an experience makes us a bitter person or a better person. What matters in life is not so much what happens to us, but what happens in us. And I took from that, well, okay, this is a terrible situation. What am I going to do? It's like anything. Somebody yes. says something awful to you, you can react to them and hit back. Or you can say, maybe they're having a bad day. You know, maybe I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. Or just respond in a very calm way. And that's not always easy. It's not always easy, but it's a choice.
Yes.
And it determines who you are, especially if you say you're a Christian. You know, that's even more difficult, because if you do respond in anger, you'll get, I thought you were a Christian, and here you are. You know, but you can't curse man and love God with the same tongue.
Yeah. You're very calm. So after that, what because you're now here in this now present, what were the other journeys you had to take to get to where you are now, that you are the one that is helping people? Your book is going to come out soon, that's going to help people come to terms with how to grieve, or, you know, share your journey of grief and how other people can go through it.
Yeah. Well, there's different types of grief, isn't there? It's not always somebody who dies. It could be abandonment. It could be in a marriage, maybe the wife leaves or the husband leaves, and the other person is left to cope with everything. And the same process goes through that person as someone who has died, because you're left to cope with everything. And with that comes all the different feelings and emotions and stages. So I've been writing this book now for a few years, and I thought I was ready to get it, and I had a publisher and everything about 2 years ago, and then the pandemic hit and I found myself on another journey where the Lord had led me to work in the community. I mean, I'd had a successful business during the crash. I lost everything, and I've put that everything in the book, to help other people to be resilient and resourceful, and to try and not focus on everything that's going wrong in your life, and looking at the positives and the blessings. And honestly, if you focus on that, it does help you. It really helps you, because you can stand back and be more objective. Because when you're caught up in all the drama and the turmoil and everything that's going wrong, that's what you're thinking about all the time. But if you try and step out of that, you know, listen to wise people, get counselling if you need it, but reach out and try and have a different perspective. And I know it's difficult to do that at, you know, really difficult times in your life, but it is possible. So I suppose that's probably innate in me. I'm very blessed that I had a lovely childhood. I had great parents, and they've always been encouraging. Not everybody has that, but I had that to lean on, and that's the type of parent I wanted to be. So yeah, that's helped me a lot, you know, to have that kind of an attitude. And that's what I want to share now. So 2 years ago, when I thought everything was going turned around and getting better again, the pandemic hit. So I was like, oh Lord, here we go again. You know, what can I do? So he again put me in a situation where this time I was actually out working in the community, and mostly with the elderly, but with special needs as a healthcare worker. And I was saying, this is so not me, Lord. I don't know why you have me here. What do you want me to do? But what I found is that there was so much loss during that time. It's multifaceted. So it's like loss, the loss of life, loss of good health, loss of finances, loss of work. I mean, everyone knows, we've talked about it until, you know, it's just everybody has experienced their own trauma in this time. But in particular, I felt for the elderly, who often had to say goodbye to loved ones if they were ill and might never have seen them again. And then there was the whole thing of funerals and that whole passage, which is in our culture, to, you know, wake the person, to have all the family around, the hugs and the kisses, the stories about that person's life, that was all taken. and it was so sad to see. But, you know, God put me in so many situations where I could be with the person and hold their hand and talk to them and pray with them. Especially with older people, I found that sometimes a lot of their children or their family, they're not believers. They might not practice, they don't believe in God. So that makes it equally, that makes it even more difficult for that person who's passing on, because they're not just worried about themselves, they're worried about their children and their families and where they are in their lives, and, you know, if they're going to go to heaven, simple things like that. So that's where I found myself thrown into by the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for that. But yeah, it was just incredible. I mean, I'm so blessed and I'm so thankful that I was able to be of help to those who were suffering. And, you know, my colleagues, the girls and guys out there working in the community over the last 2 years, it's been amazing, you know, linking people in, bringing in neighbours to take care of the elderly and help and encourage. I felt truly blessed. So that'll probably be the last chapter of this book, and then I'll finally finish it, and hopefully it will help someone in their journey.
Well, I think you've been a great help to us, just to know that we can choose our attitude, you know, and lean to our family for support when it's there for us.
Yeah.
And, you know, where can we actually get hold of this book when it comes out? Do you have a Facebook? Do you have an Instagram?
Yes, I have all the links.
Right.
Yeah, so I can put them up on the Near FM.
Right. Do you want to just say it up loud, and then, you know, because we'll be hopefully we can podcast this. So do you have what would be your Facebook or your Instagram link that we can get?
Yeah, so that would be just Marion Byrne on Facebook and Instagram, 33, and hopefully.
Yes,
it's not ready yet, so I'm not really prepared for that, but. Right. It will be shortly, hopefully within the next 2 months.
Right. And then your speaking engagements, because you have a lot of speaking engagements. Where could people call you to speak to their, you know, if you have a small group of people, like to say this is a common sport, and people that have had grief, could you come and speak to them and encourage their heart? Would you be able to get you in that sense?
Yes, yes. I'll post that up on my Instagram and Facebook. So anyone that I can help in any way, I'd be only too delighted to do that. So all are welcome.
Well, listen, it's been great just to know how much you've come through, and that now you are the one helping others. And I think that's what you said. The journey is being so marvelous, and obviously through your faith, you've been able to change attitudes and also help others. I think that's what it is. With your comfort, you're comforting others. And Marion Byrne, we've come to the very end. We've got literally about 30 seconds left. And say thank you so much for coming. Is there anybody you want to give a shout out to? Is there anything you want to say for 25 minutes?
I'd just like to thank all my my friends and my family, my mom and dad, Sarah and Francis, my children, Christina, Olivia and Luke, and my two grandchildren, and to Trinity Church, where I found fellowship and love and support all through the years. Thanks, Mary. I really appreciate the invitation today. It was lovely talking to you.
Thank you for just coming to cheer us up and tell us about what we need to do. Encourage us. And I'm sure there'll be people there who want to just say, listen, I needed to speak to a small group of people. Thank you so much. Yeah. Marion Byrne.
Keep the faith.
Who has actually gone ahead and overcome all forms of adversity through her faith, and she's now able to help to encourage us and be a mentor for us. Thank you so much,
God bless you.
Appreciate you so much.
This is Near FM
90.3.